Hello everyone, this is Anushka Arun here, and welcome to the second episode of In Your Head. Today's episode is going to be a little shorter because it's about persistent depressive disorder, or PDD, as it will be referred to for the rest of this episode. And it's very similar to major depression in many ways in terms of symptoms and in terms of causes as well. And so we're mainly going to cover the differences and why it's a little harder to spot. So again, as I say, and as I'm going to say in every episode, I'm not an expert. I am just a teenager doing my own research. I implore you to do your own research if you are more interested in it. And if you feel that you may suffer from the disorder we talk about or any other psychological disorder, please contact your healthcare professional and don't just go by what I'm saying, because they definitely know better. So without further ado, let's get started. So the main difference between PDD and major depression is that PDD is less severe but more chronic. So how it's recognized is it's a depressed mood experienced most of the time, so more days than not, and for most of the day for at least 2 years. So for major depression, they usually ask questions for the past 2 weeks because it's more severe. But persistent depressive disorder, as in the name, it's a persistent disorder, so it remains for about 2 years. And a lot of times, a person with PDD will encounter at least one episode of major depression, and together they're known as double depression. And people with PDD are at a higher risk of for anxiety and substance use, substance abuse disorders, than those with major depressive disorder. And just like major depression, it occurs twice as often in women as men. So let's move on to the causes. So the causes are one of the things that's very similar with major depression, such as the imbalance of neurotransmitters, that chemical imbalance that we talked about last episode, and the connection to stress. And then there's also that genetic connection that we mentioned, where if a first degree relative had PDD, it's more likely that a person will develop it as well. And personality traits like that include negativity, like low self-esteem, can also contribute to the development of PDD. Social circumstances play a large role in the development of PDD. Mainly isolation and lack of support contribute, and then this causes a cycle where the lack of support after the person has been diagnosed, for example, will cause them to be unable to recover from the disorder. Also, things like trauma, loss of a loved one, a difficult relationship, or stressful situations can trigger a depressive episode, and then the next depressive episode can occur without an obvious trigger, which causes an overall longer period of depression that the person might recognize as PDD. It usually begins in childhood, teen years, young adult life. So it's better to look out for it in the younger a person is, because the earlier you quote-unquote catch it, the earlier you can start getting treatment, and the more likely it is that you will more fully recover. In an old age, it's more likely to be the result of medical illness, cognitive decline, bereavement, and physical disability. And so the symptoms are very similar to major depression. The main ones are the inability to feel pleasure, or psychomotor symptoms like lethargy or agitation. However, thoughts of death and suicide are not included in the symptoms of PDD. Unique to this disorder, it's a low mood, as I said, for most of the day, for most days, for at least 2 years, if that makes sense. It's basically for more hours than not, for more days than not, for 2 years. And symptoms aren't directly a result of a medical condition or use of substances, and they impair function in work, social, or personal aspects of a person's life, like many disorders usually do. So how to help people with PDD? It's a little more complicated because, as I said before, it's less severe, so it's not as easy to recognize it in a person. And many people don't get the treatment they need because doctors fail to diagnose it. And a lot of people don't recognize PDD in themselves because they believe it's just a part of life, like the normal ups and downs of life. And in old people, dementia, apathy, or irritability can disguise PDD, making it harder to notice it or to recognize it in that person. Physicians usually ask questions like, how has your mood been recently, to kind of shed light on this possible abnormality in the person's mood, to recognize PDD. There's no exact prevention, but as I said, because it starts earlier, the earlier it's identified, the easier it is to recover, and the higher the recovery, the possibility of recovery is. The treatments are therapy and medication, as with most disorders, we're gonna go a little deeper into therapy this time, because since PDD has, the causes are a little bit more external, possibly. There's a lot of, there's three different types of therapy that are commonly used, depending on, of course, it's depending on which one works best for a person, but it's dependent on the thought process or the physical changes that has contributed to the development of PDD. So, cognitive behavioral therapy, as we talked about for major depression, changes the negative styles of thinking and self-defeating attitudes and behaviors. So if you have one of those personality traits almost of having low self-esteem, this can definitely help. And then there's also psychodynamic therapy, which helps patients resolve emotional conflicts. So if you've had some sort of emotional trouble with another person or in your life that has contributed to the development of PDD, this can help to overcome that. And interpersonal therapy, or IPT, helps patients cope with interpersonal issues, loss, separation, and life transitions, which is the one of the last causes I was talking about. If there's ever any trauma, loss, separation, like changes in relationship, things like that, IPT will help with that, interpersonal therapy. And the medication that is used to treat PDD are the same as those for major depression. And so most of those, I don't think I went into much detail last week, but most of them are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, which basically increases the availability of serotonin as a neurotransmitter. And so, as I was talking about last time, those neurotransmitters are suppressed because of things like stress, and you can listen to that episode for more details about that, but this basically increases the availability of serotonin as a neurotransmitter, serotonin, which is very, very, very important towards the recovery of depressive disorders. And for most patients, a combination of the two treatments is the most effective course of treatment. And for PDD, although recovery can take time and symptoms often return, treatments like therapy, they are ongoing, and so they can help you be prepared if it does return, or can help you recover the next time it does return. And so that's pretty much all I have about persistent depressive disorder. Like I said, it's very similar to major depression. I was just talking about the differences mostly, and the certain specific things that are similar. And so if you have any questions, you can always do your own research or talk to your healthcare provider if you believe that you are suffering from persistent depressive disorder or any other disorder. Don't go obviously by exactly what I said, because I'm not a professional. I'm just a kid. And it's important that you get really, really specific information to you specifically. I hope that you all have a great week, and I will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Accurate sources I can find.